The question was asked, what is this concept that a child learns the whole Torah in his mother's womb? So this concept appears in numerous sources. We'll quote a few. And maybe in the end, remind me, we'll look up, there's another medrash that goes to great lengths about how a child is formed, including this part about learning Torah. So the medrash says as follows, man was created in the beginning and the end. So to speak, it took God all day on Friday to build man. You see, man was created from beginning to end. It says, Achor v'kedem, to the back and to the front. So one understanding is that it took a whole day to create man. The other understanding is that what's Achor v'kedem tzartani, that man was created back and front, two faces, male and female. And another understanding is that God, that man says, I was created last after all the creatures. And when a child is formed in his mother's womb, Hashem warns him and says, this is what you should eat from, and this is what you shouldn't eat from. This is what's defiled, and this is what isn't defiled. And in his mother's womb, he accepts all the mitzvos of the Torah, and only then is he born. So the first source we have says that when a child is in his mother's womb, he's learning everything. And he accepts everything. That's a key point. He accepts everything. His soul accepts all the mitzvos. And only then is he born. So that's the Medrash Tanhuma. That's source number one. Yeah?
If he's miscarried, does that mean he doesn't accept it?
Oh, so that's a separate discussion about what happens on a miscarriage. We'll say that a miscarriage is a soul that finished its job and for whatever reason had to undergo that part of the pregnancy, and we'll leave it at that. But the Medrash in Mishle words it differently. The Medrash says, and it could be the Midrashim aren't contradicting, the Medrash says on the verse, Yitzpon la'isharim tushia, God hides for those that are honest, he hides for them salvation. So Rabbi Eliezer asked Rabbi Yeshua, what does that verse mean? He says, from the time a person is formed in his mother's womb, so then the Torah he is yet to learn is hiding and waiting for him. And that's the idea that God has, so to speak, stored, hidden, waiting for the person that salvation, which is the Torah is called the salvation, Tushia is a code for Torah. And that's what's going to protect the Torah, just like the shield protects a person at war. So too, the Torah that he's yet to learn is there protecting him because he has a job to accomplish. And this goes back to another concept in the Medrash, that every person has his parts of Torah that only he can uncover. So this Medrash, you could say, is not arguing with the other Medrash. It's just saying the Torah you have yet to learn from the time you're in your mother's womb, that Torah is waiting for you. Okay? Next Medrash. The verse says that Lapetach Chatat Rovetz. Now this verse is describing God is saying this to Cain after Cain did his sin. God tells Cain, if you want to do tshuva, fine, you can. And if you don't, you should realize your sin is waiting by the entrance. Our sages took this verse to teach us another concept. What does it mean, the sin is waiting by the entrance? So Chazal say, the second a baby comes out of the entrance, out of his mother's womb, his desire for sin is there. In other words, we are very materialistic and physical, and when a baby is born, he's self-centered, and all he knows is what he needs and wants, and it takes time until the Yetzer Tov develops, as it says in Avos Rabbi Nosson, that the Yetzer Hara has a 13-year head start on the Yetzer Tov. But the Medrash here says it differently. The Medrash says, when a child is in his mother's womb, he learns the whole Torah. As the verse says, God teaches every person and tells him, listen to what I have to tell you. The verse in Mishlei says, Vayoreini vayomerli, my father loves me, that's a reference to God, and he taught me and said to me, Yitmoch dvarai libecha, let my words support your heart, accept what I have to tell you. And when a child is born, says the Yalkut Shimoni, So a malach comes and gives him a smack, and he forgets his whole Torah. And that's what the verse means, la peta chatat rovetz. And the famous Roman emperor Antoninus asked Rebbe, from what point does a human being have yetzer hara? From the time he is born or from the time he is formed? And Rebbe said, from the time he is formed. And Antoninus said, if that were the case, then the kid would be such a wild animal and his mother, every woman would miscarry. Not so, Antoninus says. The yetzer hara only enters a baby from the minute he is born. In utero, no yetzer hara, and Rebbe accepted it. Rebbe said, Antoninus taught me a thing. So that's the next medrash, which is also based on parts of Talmud. Now, there's a commentary called the Pnei David. Okay, just closed on me. Just one second. The Pnei David is a work on the Torah written by the Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai. And so far, it isn't shutting down on me. We'll hope it continues behaving. So, the Tosfos writes in Nidarim, Tosfos says, a child has a Yetzer Tov, he has the desire to do good, when he's in his mother's womb. What did that just tell us? He has a Yetzer Tov in utero. And that's where he's learning. He knows the whole Torah. So the Tosa says, obviously he has a good desire in utero. And when he's born, the Yetzer Hara comes in and kicks out the Yetzer Tov until the kid starts having intelligence, and that's when he can have a Yetzer Tov again. So what does that mean? That means the Chida is quoting a Tosfos that gives us a beautiful insight. We start off completely good. The forming of a baby is perfectly in sync with nature. Everything good, nothing bad about a baby. Then the baby's born, and all he knows is, I want, I want, I want. He cries, he has no concept of caring for anyone but himself. He has no concept of anything good, all he knows is what he wants. Until he gets some intellect. So the Chida over here is quoting a Tosfos, that the Yetzer Tov is there from the beginning of formation. What a beautiful perception, what a beautiful concept. Man is created good. Then he's born, he has the weaknesses of a baby until he gets intellect, and then he could start being really good. That makes sense. Then the Chida goes into a discussion of how this Tosot is really working out what we quoted earlier. Remember we said in Avos Rabbi Nosson, it says that the Yetzer Hara has a head start over the Yetzer Tov. So the Chida says, right, that's this idea, that you have the combination of the two. You begin with good, and then in comes the Yetzer Hara, and then you wait until the child gains his intellect, which the Medrash classically says is age 13, but it doesn't have to be that. So that's the next source. Next source, we have a book called Tevas Gome, written by Rav Yosef ben Rav Meir Te'omim, also contemporary of the Chida, only he lived in Lemberg, which was in Poland, now it's in Ukraine, and he started publishing his own works at age 18, and he wrote many important works. He was rabbi of Frankfurt, and he wrote a famous work on Shulchan Aruch called the Pri Megadim, a work called Ginat Vradim, of different rules of rules that are universal in Talmud, This work that he wrote on the Torah is not so well known. It's called the Tevas Gome. So he quotes the following medrash. The medrash says, Baruch on the verse, Baruch ata bevoecha, uvaruch ata betzeitecha. Blessed are you when you come in, blessed are you when you go out. your exit should be as clean as your entrance. You came into the world without sin. You should merit to leave without sin. then the verse says, if the nation of Israel does not live up to their responsibilities, so then arurata bevoecha v'arurata betzitecha. The verse says, God says you'll be cursed when you come in, you'll be cursed when you go out. What does that mean? It means just like when a baby's born, he forgets all his Torah, so too, when he leaves the world, he should end up forgetting all his Torah. Because a person's going to come to the world to come, what's the first thing they judge him over? They ask him, did you learn Torah? So he says, sure. So they say, tell us, what do you know? And that's why the heavenly voice, you remember we quoted this medrash a few weeks ago, that when there was an Amora whose son passed out, and they asked him, what'd you see, what'd you hear? So he said, I heard them say, Ashrei mi sheba lekan v'talmudo biyado. Praised is he who comes here and he has his learning in his hands. Meaning, our job in this world is not to say, well, I covered it all when I was in utero. I learned all of Shas and Daf Yomi and I forgot it all too. No. When we come to heaven, they're going to ask us, what'd you learn? Tell us. What do you know? So, one of the curses when we don't live up to our responsibilities is that one will pass away having forgotten everything he learned, just like when a baby's born, he forgets everything he learned. That's arurata bevoecha, arurata betzeitecha. It's a curse that we're born and we forget everything. And then a person's going to die and he's not going to remember everything. So you see that if a person doesn't have his Torah in the world to come, he's in trouble. It's not enough that we learn now. We have to retain, we have to review, we have to have what to take with us. So that's this idea the Tevas Gome brings here. Yes?
So
that doesn't count. That's called... That's what the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos also says. If a person did the best he could and God gave him an illness and he couldn't retain it or old age, so that's not his fault. It's as though he has it.
But if he suffers, then he doesn't have a period when he gets there at all.
Again?
If he forgot Torah, God forbid, while he was alive,
then he's going to be held accountable for it. They're going to hold it against him. We see.
They don't like give it back to a man.
It seems complicated, because in one place the Talmud says when Yehuda passed away, he couldn't remember his learning. Everyone was learning up in heaven, and he couldn't join in. So it seems like there is this concept that a person can come into yeshiva in heaven and find himself lost. He can't join. He doesn't remember. I don't know. So there's a famous commentary on the Talmud called the Be'er Sheva. He was a rabbi from Posen, Poland.
Question.
What?
Question.
Yeah.
If the child has only can we say that he has free will?
No. He doesn't need free will in utero.
So free will starts
when he's born, I guess. Seems that way.
It chose his parents somehow.
So the next source gives 1 second. That's the last source we'll see. The next source is what Ephraim just mentioned. The Be'er Sheva, who lived very shortly after the Shulchan Aruch, he was a disciple of the Ramah's disciple. He learned by Rav Mordechai Yaffe, who was himself a disciple of the Ramah, of Rav Moshe Iserlis. So he was 2 generations down from the Shulchan Aruch, the Be'er Sheva. And he writes as follows. He says, based on this Gemara, what do we see? That when a baby's in utero, he's learning the whole Torah. And if he could learn the whole Torah in utero, then he must have a mind. And if he has a mind and he's learning the Torah, then that means he can choose between good and bad. So then Esav and Yaakov in utero were learning Torah. And it means that Yaakov was drawn to the Torah he was learning. And Esav, even though he didn't have a Yetzer Hara yet, right? So that's interesting. He still had this inclination, I got to run to the idol worship. So then the Malach smacks them, they forget everything. So then He says there are two types of Yetzer Hara. There's a Yetzer Hara that affects our thoughts, and there's a Yetzer Hara that affects our actions. And the Yetzer Hara that affects our actions only comes later. But the Yetzer Hara of thought, of plotting, of thinking, of preferences, you have to say that that's in utero. So here the Be'er Sheva gives us a bombshell. He says there are two types of Yetzer Hara, and even though the Talmud says we only have a Yetzer Hara after we're born, he says that's a Yetzer Hara for action, for things in the physical world. But if you're learning the whole Torah in utero, then you also have a Yetzer Hara for philosophy. A Yetzer Hara of, will I buy into this or won't I buy into this? And that's why Esav in utero could be dying to go out and serve idols, because the Yetzer Hara for thought, says the Be'er Sheva, that exists in utero. So that's a bombshell. I don't know of any other source that says that, that divides the Yetzer Hara like that. Okay, so that's the Be'er Sheva. Yes? Yes?
Obviously, like the baby in utero can't think.
I don't know about that. Like, I don't know. I don't know why you're saying that.
This is just the brain isn't developed. Like that.
Okay, so but we don't know.
Soul, right?
I don't know about that. Babies react to music in utero. Babies do react. They react to voices in utero. We see that, I'm not sure that's true. Okay, so we don't understand.
Like, soul is being taught or some aspect like that, and then when it enters, like, you know, the baby is born, that aspect is removed, you know, or subsumed because it's on a higher level and it becomes very physical, and so then the baby can't access that knowledge, essentially. But I like to say that, okay, so the soul showed, so Esav's soul then showed, or mind if you really want to be, chose evil from the womb. That's really... Okay.
You have to learn our Drashas Aran. The Ran discusses this idea. Not directly, but he discusses what was Esav's job in the world. So that deserves a broader discussion, because this takes away some of the blame from Esav. That means from birth, Esav was already, even before he was born, he already had certain inclinations. And we find this a few times in Chazal. That people, Chazal tell us about different people that before they could choose, they already had inclinations. Okay, next.
But someone also says that Yaakov took away his possibility to do tshuva because he had his daughter Dina. And Dina, if she got married with Esav, he would have done Chura.
That deserves a discussion, but not right now. Let's finish this, and then if you want, we'll discuss that. The next source is from the Meharsha, who was a contemporary of the Be'er Sheva, and they both, we said, came from the city of Posen. He married a girl from Posen. His mother-in-law was a wealthy widow. Her name was Adel. And the Marsha took on his mother-in-law's name. She was funding his whole yeshiva. So the Marsha became known as Rav Shmuel Eliezer ben Rav Yehuda HaLevi Adels. He took on his mother-in-law's name because that was like a name of honor. She was the wealthy widow of town and she funded the whole yeshiva. The yeshiva that he taught in. And he became rabbi in different cities, and his work is published in the back of the Talmud. The Marsha writes on Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, the Gemara is discussing the different letters in the alphabet. So the Gemara discusses the pei. We know we have a pei where the leg is bent. It's like a circle, like almost like the at sign, right? The sign, a reverse at, you know, at gmail.com. It's a reverse at. That's the pay. The pay. Oh, okay. We know how a pay looks, right? It's a circle comes across on the bottom. And then you have a pay where the leg extends downward. So the Gemara says, pay kfufa, pay pshuta. You have a pay that's bent, you have a pay that's extended, protracted. So the Marsha says, the Talmud tells us when a baby's in utero, his mouth is sealed. And when he's born, his mouth is open. So pay is like the mouth. You have a time where it's closed, you have a time when it's open. By the same token, he says, what happens when a baby's mouth is closed in utero? He's learning the whole Torah. That means he's learning it in his mind. Then he's born, whack, he forgets the whole Torah, and now he has to start learning it with the mouth that's been opened. And the only way he's going to get Torah from now on is if he uses that mouth to learn and review and discuss and study Torah. So that's the idea that the pay can be both closed and open. One can learn Torah in utero with the pay closed. One can learn Torah when he's born with the pay open. So that's the marsha over there. And so then
he can learn it with his mouth open in utero?
Or no, he can't. He's born. He can't. One.
Could learn Torah with your mouth closed.
When you're born, you're not gonna. You have a responsibility to say it with your mouth. Otherwise, you won't remember it. Talmud says there's an old man who learned Torah his whole life and forgot it very quickly because he wouldn't say it out loud. Yeah, we're supposed to learn with our mouths to say things out loud.
That's why we have a baby.
What?
That's why we have a baby
left. Right. Yeah.
Do you literally not get credit if you...
No, you get credit. You just might not retain it. Talmud says people don't retain if they don't say it audibly. The Talmud says if someone has Torah and doesn't teach it to other people, then even the babies in their mother's womb curse him. What does that mean? That even the babies in their mother's womb who don't need him, they have the whole Torah, even they curse him. So you see, this was taken literally, that they know everything. And finally, the last quote we're going to quote is from a work called the Hafla, which was from a rabbi named Rav Pinchas Horowitz. He also lived in Poland in the 18th century, and he was from the city of Chortkov. I don't know how you... Chortkov. He became a close student of the Maggid of Mezrich, who was the disciple of the Baal Shem Tov. And he was also a rabbi in Frankfurt. He was also very close with the Noda Behuda, Rav Yecheskel Landau. Back to the Hafla. So it's interesting that the Hafla was on both sides of the fences. He was friendly with the Misnagdim, the Noda Behuda, and Rav Nassan Adler, who was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, and he was also a disciple of the Maggid of Mezrich. So he was one of those interesting people who was on both sides of the fence. So he writes as follows. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in Tractate Avos, it says, if you learned a lot of Torah, don't consider yourself so great, because that's how you were formed for that. So what are they telling us? That if you learned a lot, well, look at when you were in utero. When you were in utero, you knew the whole Torah. And now you came to the world, all you're doing is slowly accumulating what your neshama should acquire. But at the end of the day, you could have done more, because you did more before you were born. So that leads us to the final point, which Ari asked. Why do we learn everything before we're born? So there are two approaches. There's one approach, which is the Hafla. The approach that says it keeps us humble. As much as we learn, there's still a whole lot more potential out there that we did once. And we shouldn't be so proud, because we really, we could have done, we still have what to do. But there's another approach. And that is that when a person comes to do something which is completely new to him, take a person... I had yesterday one of the guys I learned with in the Hesder Yeshiva asked me to take a picture of him with his iPhone. So I'm looking at this contraption and I'm not sure exactly where I'm supposed to push. Like, I see the picture and I'm not sure where. There was a button. That phone had a button that you're supposed to push to take the picture. So I figured I must look very uneducated. Everyone knows how to use these phones, and I'm standing there. He jumps into the water. There was a lake. He says, could you take a picture of me? I said, I don't even know how to turn this machine on. So someone shows me how to turn it on. I said, I don't know how to turn it to camera, and I don't know how to take the picture. So we have things that when we're not familiar with them, it's very strange to us the first time we use them. Or when we're trying to get accustomed to using them, it can seem very awkward. Take a person who never kept Shabbos. So he comes and he asks, what do you guys want from me? Why can't I turn on my cell phone on Shabbos? So fine, he learns he's not supposed to turn on his cell phone. I remember being in shul once, and a kid comes in Shabbos morning. He wanted to be a big tzaddik. He came in before everyone else and puts on his tefillin. Okay, so Shabbos morning, no one else is in shul. He shows up and he's ready before everyone. He's got his tefillin on. He didn't know he's not supposed to put on tefillin on Shabbos. So he did nothing wrong, but it was very strange to him. He didn't know what he's supposed to do, what he's not supposed to do. When we're... say there, but when we're beginners, so everything's cumbersome, and even when you try to get it right, it seems wrong, and then people walk away very frustrated, and it's like, I'm never going to get this right, and why? What am I doing here? Pause. This is your second nature. Before you were born, you were taught all of this. And the idea that I learned all of the Torah before I was born is there as an encouragement. Look at me, it is my nature. It's not something foreign, I just have to regain something I once had. And that's one of the explanations as to why Adam started off in the Garden of Eden. When it was well known that he wouldn't last, that was part of the plan. But the idea is it's always easier to work back to something you already had, to something you already knew, to something you already did. And so we start off life and we have the whole Torah. And then we're always just working back to something that was so natural to us. There are other ideas that are expressed with this concept. One being that the Torah is the most natural form of life on this planet. So it's very natural for a baby to be learning that in utero. And that goes back to the understanding of how Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov kept the Torah even though it didn't happen yet. They're eating matzah on Pesach. We didn't even enter Egypt yet. What are they eating matzah for? The answer is that there's the level of Torah which we see, which is the Torah tells us eat matzah because you left Egypt, etc. But there's also a level in which the Torah is the most natural way to live on this planet. We don't see it. We don't understand it. To us, it seems very unnatural to live the lifestyle of the Torah. But if we can at least appreciate, if we can at least realize that there is such a concept, that the Torah is the natural way of life, so then it also makes perfect sense that that's part of the formation of a baby's mind and soul, that the Torah is a part of giving him that nature. Just as the body learns many things in utero, so too one of the natural things for the baby's mind or soul to learn is this, the whole Torah. So those are a few thoughts. And we said we would end with a medrash. So before I quote this medrash is of questionable sources. It's quoted in a work by Rabbi Eisenstein, a work called Otzar HaMidrashim, a compendium of midrashim. And not every medrash that he quotes has really been validated as a bona fide medrash. Yes.
Is this true only for Jewish soul? Or anybody?
It would seem that this is true for all souls, not only a Jewish soul. Because the verse that the Talmud quotes, be it the verse about Cain, be it the verse from Job, these verses are verses that are written about people who were not Jewish. So it would seem. Again, I don't know of a source that says it overtly, but the verses that the Talmud quotes as sources for this concept that a baby has the whole Torah, so those verses are verses that speak about non-Jews. They speak about human beings like Cain, like Eov, Job, people who are not Jewish. So on the surface, it seems that I don't have a source that says it explicitly, but it seems to be a human phenomenon. All human beings. Yes? And finally, the Medrash we're about to quote is a slight contradiction to that. And the Medrash we began with doesn't exactly work with that, because we said in the Medrash Tanhuma that before a baby is born, Hashem tells him this is what you're allowed to eat and this is what not. This is what's pure and this is what's defiled. And then the baby accepts responsibility for all the mitzvos before being born. So that Medrash seems to indicate it's a Jewish thing. Now you have to remember that the Midrashim also say that people who are going to perform Giyur are souls that were already predetermined long before. One Medrash says they were at Sinai, another Medrash says they were the Gerim of Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu was Megayer, and they fell by the wayside because we weren't a people. And a third Medrash says they were the babies that Sarah nursed. Different Midrashim, but that might fit with that. But I don't know. You're saying a person becomes a ger, so he didn't learn the Torah in his mother's womb. I don't know. Yes?
But it makes sense that it's everybody, that some extent, every human being have learned some Torah, because if they have to, in the end of the days, accept that Torah and Judaism is the right path to God and the only truth, it makes sense if they learned about it. Also, like you said, it'll be easier to work against work towards something you learned before.
I hear, right. It's logical. I just don't know of a source for it, so I can't say. I agree. So, the Medrash is actually called the Medrash of Yetzirat Avlad. It's the Medrash of the formation of a baby. That's the name of this Medrash, and I want to divide it maybe into two recordings to make it easier on the listeners. So we'll make that a second recording.